Hello, this is a show from Radio. We're a group of stations bringing new and forgotten ways of making radio to our listeners.
Delta 2 Yankee, Juliet Romeo.
Each week we give artists the challenge to make radio that works across the whole of Europe and beyond. Are you up for it?
There. See that junction in front of us? This is where they decided to draw the borderline. The borderline between Jaffa and Tel Aviv. It ran alongside the street beneath us. Things got heated up lately. Chaos and clashes erupted. More and more people got killed. So the British thought it would be smarter to keep us apart. They say they want to do the same thing with the whole country. That's what the Jews want, people say. It's funny in a way. All this time, people have been living together here. First under the Turkish, now under the British. Then, all of a sudden, those people come along and divide the space with barbed wire and decide that some of us belong on this side of it and the others on the other. Well, we're right in the middle of all of it. The place that I'm going to show you is the borderland itself. It is a threatening place for those who think they know exactly who they are and where they belong. It is here where their firm identity gets shaken. And it is thus here where the battle will begin. But come with me. I'll show you around and explain to you what I mean. Just follow the rhythm of my footsteps. Yalla, let's go. Get out of the park and walk towards the junction. We will cross the junction and walk down Kalisha Street towards the next junction by the market. And oh, try not to get the attention of the British soldiers guarding the border. We don't want them to decide on which side we belong, do we? Are you following me? We're walking down Kalisha Street now. The place that I'm going to show you is not that old. Well, older than Tel Aviv, but still, not that old. First, some Egyptians settled down here around 1870. They came with the army of Ibrahim Pasha and wouldn't want to go back with him. Well, the place grew and grew, and now it's one of the biggest neighborhoods of Jaffa. Some 15,000 people live here. Muslims, Jews, Christians, atheists, communists, rich people, poor people, people with morals and people without them. Soon after, they started building Tel Aviv to the east of our neighborhood. And by now, it's pretty much surrounding us from all sides. Except for the south, where the center of Jaffa is. If it wasn't for that damned barbed wire, one could almost think that we're one city. Let's continue to the corner. I shall wait for you there. Here, that's it, Manshiya. People come here from all sorts of places. There, you see to the right, the Carmel Market. People from Yemen, from Iraq, Morocco, Lebanon. See, we have everything we need. And if we can't find it in the neighborhood, we go to the center of Jaffa. There you find absolutely everything you can wish for. Cinema, music, literature, sports, politics, everything. That's why all the people come here. Because the city is good to everyone. Our Jaffa. We call her Imm al-Gharib, the mother of the stranger. People come here from all over the world and find their luck. They find work, money, they find love. There, in the coffee place of Hajj Ali Sambo, on your left side, see all the people gathering there? The Hajj recently got a radio, and now all the people come to him to listen to the news. If you own a radio, you're the king. All the people will come to you to listen. See, they're fighting over the spot closest to the machine.
The United States, yes,
But come on, let's keep on walking. Walk straight. Keep on walking until you see a zebra crossing sign in front of you. And the park to your right. Wait there.
This is the park of the conquerors. History inscribed into space. The park was once a built-up area. Instead of that playing ground and the trees, there were houses, shops, a school in front of us, where the dog garden is now. The conquerors were affixed to the space by the street signs and a heavy block of marble. You see it? In front of you to the left. Get off the path and walk to it through the grass to have a closer look. It's dedicated to those who protected Tel Aviv and conquered Jaffa. Walk around it to its backside.
Swifter than eagles, stronger than lions, it says. It's from King David's lament over the death of Saul and Jonathan. More wonderful than the love of women. How have the mighty fallen? Celebrate the heroism of those who have fallen in wars. A way to mask their emotions. Distract from the agony. The guilt from having outlived them. We love life as much as possible. While a mother buries her child, they keep erecting monument after monument, marble blocks of guilt, dead weight. They say the secret of redemption lies in remembrance. We can choose to remember, and we can try to suppress. But can we also choose to forget?
Let's walk on. Go back to the path and follow it to the end of the park. Wait there.
I just came home from school. I dropped my bag and then went out again to play with my friends. Suddenly the boys start screaming and shouting. So me and my friends go and have a look. And there's a big knot of people and everybody's shouting and screaming. I push through the center of the crowd and there's a man lying on the floor. He's dead. I recognize him. He's the guy who sells eggs in our neighborhood. They killed him. They say it was the Jews. They're taking the dead body off the street now. There's more and more people from our neighborhood coming. A group of young men starts walking now. They're walking towards Tel Aviv. I'm sure they'll be fighting again.
I'm afraid she's right. There's more and more rumors spreading from the surrounding villages to the city and also to our neighborhood. They say in the mornings, people go out to work in the fields carrying only their tools. And in the evening, when they return, they carry dead bodies on their backs. But let's continue. Turn left after the park and walk on the pavement until you've reached the mosque. Wait there. What you see in front of you is not just a mosque. I mean, obviously it is a mosque, but it's much more than a place of prayer. Hassan Bey, who was the governor of Jaffa, built it to ensure the expansion of Jaffa to the north and to stop Tel Aviv expanding towards the sea. The Brits and the Jews actually kind of fear this place. A lot of the big clashes that took place in the area actually either started from Manshiya or were soon centered around it. So the Adhan, the call to prayer that you hear right now, is not the only kind of sound that comes from that minaret. They make all sorts of announcements, political speeches, and also shooting. Snipers use the minaret as a platform, and from up there, fire on the streets of Tel Aviv. So whenever some sort of clash is about to happen, you can trust that the Brits and the Haganah won't be far away from that mosque. Now cross the street to the side of the mosque. Keep walking straight on the pavement alongside the mosque in the direction towards the sea. We will walk around the mosque. Once the fighting is over, you will see the neighborhood children coming out in flocks and harvest the grenades that didn't explode or any other leftovers of ammunition they can find on the ground. They give them to the fighters. There's always a shortage of ammunition. People here have the passion to defend the place.
Are you there yet? There's a playground in front of you in the park. Do you see it? After crossing the parking lot, get off the pavement and walk across the green towards it. Watch out for bicycle riders. After they demolished the neighborhood completely in the 1960s, they pushed the rubble to the seaside, changed the shoreline, and covered the rest with grass. All these dunes around us are grass-covered piles of rubble. I sometimes think of Manshi as the subconscious of this park, containing all those repressed stories and traumas, buried underneath the surface and covered with grass.
Our house is located just by the sea. During the high tide, especially in winter, the water almost reaches our home and we can hear the waves splashing against the shore. The rhythmical movement of the waves always calms me down. Its sound makes me sleepy. But now it's different. See, our house is the last one of Menashia. To the north of it, Tel Aviv starts, so we often get into the fire line. Sometimes British soldiers come to our house and use it as a hideout for snipers. They shoot through our windows towards the Jewish fighters on the other side. And then, of course, they fire back at us. Now that the fighting is getting more and more intense, we won't hear the waves no more. We fall asleep to the sound of the shooting instead. Sometimes, when they stop fighting and the rhythm is suddenly interrupted, we wake up. We wake up from the silence. Our Jewish neighbor told my mother she thinks the fighting will get worse.
Tel Aviv, June 13, 1932, to the Chief Rabbi Nate. It has come to my attention that at the beaches, men and women bathe together. They get undressed in a wooden building where compartments are separated by planks which are often cracked. In the corridors, the men and women meet together half naked. Bathing is completely mixed. On the sand, at the seafront, it comes to a total absurdity. Women lies alongside men and men find themselves near women in immodest attire. The blasphemy is beyond description. And all of this encourage our neighbors to come in flocks to gaze at the daughters of Israel in their shame.
Hey, where are you going? Are you leaving as well? All the people of our neighborhood are packing their belongings. They're leaving. I asked my mom where were they all going, and she said to the port. I wanted to know what was going on there, so I asked her to take me. When we got to the port, I saw it full of people. Men, women, children, elderly people. I couldn't even see the ground. So many people were there. My mom explained to me that King Farouk had just sent ships to bring the people to Egypt. But she said they were going to return as soon as the fighting was over. They say Arab armies from all over will come and help us. When the people went to the boat, they were so many that the boat started sinking. A panic broke out and they started just throwing their belongings into the water. Clothes, mattresses, whatever they had brought. I saw one woman, she was screaming and pointing to the water, and something was shimmering and glittering there. She had put all her jewelry into a pillowcase and someone had accidentally thrown it into the water.
Take the right path at the next junction and follow it. At dawn on April 25th, 1948, the Etzel began their attack on Manshiya. On the eve before the battle, Menachem Begin, the commander of the Etzel, addressed some 600 fighters in Ramat Gan.
Soldiers of the Etzel, we are going out to conquer Jaffa. This will be one of the most decisive battles in the war of Israel's independence. Know who is before you. Remember those you have left behind. You are up against a ruthless enemy who intends to wipe us out. Behind you are your parents, our brothers, and our children. Smite the enemy. Aim well. Conserve ammunition. Show no mercy in battle, just as the enemy has no pity for our people. Spare women and children. Spare the lives of anyone who raises his hands in surrender. He is your captive. Do not harm him.
Do you see the stone building in front of you? Walk towards it. You can sit down on the steps if you like.
When we came back from the port to Manchiyi, there was shooting everywhere. The sound of shots were rattling like heavy winter rain falling down from the sky. That's it. I thought I'm going to die. قبل ما نطلع من البيت غطينا القطات بشراشف طاولي عشان ولا يتوسخوا احنا مش بالبيت كنا تقريبا خلصنا لما سمعنا صوت انفجار ضخم كتير كبير قريب كتير من فركضنا على الشارع انا وامي وستي واخوي الصغير ورحنا من محل لمحل ندور على مخبى من دون ما نلاقي محل امن لحد ما وصلنا بيت سيدي قضينا الليلة هناك وبالضبط قبل ما نغفى سمعنا فجأة صوت انفجار كتير كتير عالي كتير كبير في مدفع ضرب باتجاه البيت ودمر الجدار المحوط الجناني بجنب بيته بيت الجار اللي مبني جديد انهدم كلياته صار خربة
On the morning of the third day of the battle over Manchiya, the Etzel had changed their tactic. Instead of advancing on the roads and alleys where they would expose themselves to enemy fire, they moved on through the interior of houses, breaching in and out their outside walls. That same tactic was employed by the IDF in Nablus in 2002. 70 Palestinians died. Hundreds were arrested. The operations commander referred to his tactic as inverse geometry, turning the inside out and the outside in. Private space becomes public space and vice versa.
The shooting continued. We rushed out of the house to look for a safe space. Shooting and firing, shooting and firing. Everywhere we went, they were shooting and firing. Where are we going? بعد ما تخبينا في محل تاني سمعنا حدا بيصيح برا المحارب بيقول يا ناس اطلعوا برا اطلعوا من بيوتكم كلكم اليهود عم بيقربوا اطلعوا من بيوتكم كانوا هدول رجال المقاومة لما طلعنا على الشارع قلت لواحد من الزلام ست ختيارة ومريضة بالقوة بتقدر تمشي قال لي انا بحملها بس خدي هدول عني عبين ما حمل الزلمة ستي انا كنت حاملة الاكم من غرض اللي كان هو ضبيبهن وماخدهن معه هني والبواريد تعونه خلص الرصاص اللي كان مع المحاربين ولا رصاصة واحدة كان باقي معهن ليدافعوا عن حارتنا رحنا لعند عرباي اللي كانت في الشارع كتير ناس كانوا صاروا قاعدين أو متسلقين عليها كان معنا صاحبتي من المدرسة سعدية وستها فجأة قامت ست سعدية وصرخت المصاري نسيت المصاري بالبيت لازم أرجع على البيت أجيب المصاري قلنا لها ترجعيش خليكي يا شيخة بقتلوكي كل الناس قالوا لها بس هي مصرة ترجع كيف بدنا نصمد من دون مصاري كيف بدنا نعيش نزلت من العرباي وراحت استنينا واستنينا انها ترجع بس ما رجعتش الزلام راحوا يدوروا عليها بس ما لقوهاش بولا محل التخسر هقرب وهقرب واليهود كانوا صاروا بالشارع اللي حدنا فقررنا انه كتير خطر نبقى وتركنا ورانا المنشية مش راح نشوف ست سعدية بعد اختفت تحت الأنقاض اللي كانت مرة حارتنا لما وصلنا العجمي بس أكم من كيلومتر بعيد عن الحارة صرنا لاجئين
نادى والمقاتلين المكان يستلموا سلاحهم ويستسلموا نادى والمقاتلين المكان يستلموا سلاحهم ويستسلموا
Look to the small hill next to the building. Look up. Do you see the sculpture on the hill? Go a bit closer and look at her. She's called Woman Against the Wind. I always thought she looks like an angel. The angel of history. Her face is turned towards the past, where we see the appearance of a chain of events. She sees one single catastrophe, which unceasingly piles rubble on top of rubble and hurls it before her feet. She would like to pose for a moment so fair, to awaken the dead and to piece together what has been smashed. But a storm is blowing from paradise. It has caught itself up in her wings and is so strong that the angel can no longer close them. The storm drives her irresistibly into the future, to which her back is turned, while the rubble heap before her grows sky high. That which we call progress is the storm. Turn around again. Turn towards Yaffa. Walk towards it.
None of our journeys ever ended. Many of us got on one of the boats and sailed off to Gaza. Others went to Jordan or further places. And still others went to live in other villages, towns, and cities of this land. Families were torn apart, and many of us still walk around looking for their loved ones, barred by their own identification cards. Even those of us who managed to stay in Yaffa, those who were called upon to move into the emptied houses in the Ajami ghetto, keep on wondering. Today, 500 families in Ajami, many of who are refugees from 48, face house evictions and house demolitions. Once more, they will be dispossessed and displaced. Here, look at her. Look at Yaffa, Imm al-Gharib, the mother of the stranger, good and caring to anyone who landed on her shores. These days, she's merely an echo of the past. Those few of us who knew her from before hardly recognize her anymore. Now she is the stranger to us.
End of transmission. Find us on the internet, radia.fm. Over and out.